Joel chapter number 2. I'm going to read two verses, and then we're going to go back. I'll pray, and then we'll go back and read several more verses. But Joel chapter number 2, look with me, if you would, at verse number 28. Verse number 28. And this is, you've probably heard something taught out of this before. Joel chapter number 2, verse 28. Bible says, "And it shall come to pass afterward." Now, watch that statement. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." So we have a past tense where it's talking about, "and it shall come to pass afterward." So it's talking about this is going to happen after something happens. And then in the verse number 28, the Bible says, "in those days." So after something happened, this is going to happen. After something happened, this is going to happen. And I want to just talk to maybe a lesson this morning about just doing it. And I know I talk a lot about the next generation, but the next generation is the ones that's going to carry on what you have carried on. Okay? So that's the importance of it. But, you know, doing it for your kids. You know, if nothing else, do it for your kids. Okay? So let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the good night's rest that you gave me, and I hope others in here got a good night's rest also. Lord, I thank you for the rain. Lord, I was thinking this morning, you know, this, I guess it's one thing that we cannot control. It's one thing that you show us your power, because there's really nothing that we can there's nothing we can do about whether it rains or whether it doesn't rain. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for your ability to give us what we need, even though sometimes we don't understand it. Father, I thank you for these good people here. I think of those that aren't not able to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you touch their bodies and help them. Lord, I know the weather causes pain and for a lot of folks. And also, Lord, I know that some just don't want to get out when it's this type of thing. So I do thank you for those that have come out this morning. I pray that you just help us this morning as we look at just a simple truth in your word. And Lord, I know this hits me right at home, and Lord, I need to do better on this for my kids and for the younger generation. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever, this is kind of a side note, it has nothing to do with the lesson at all. I was thinking about rain this morning. I don't know, does anybody know how much rain we got? 5.5 inches. I heard yesterday, we had over 4 yesterday. I don't have a rain gauge. Some folks have rain gauges. I got thinking about it. I was like, why didn't I have a rain gauge? And I thought, there's really nothing I can do. It just gives you something to talk about. You know, when you go in the hardware store, well, I had 4.5 inches. You know, just, I guess it's a conversation piece. I don't know why you have a rain gauge, but nothing you can do about it anyway. I was mowing yesterday. I need to like pontoons on my mower or something. I mean, I'm going like 6 inches of water mowing across grass. But it was do that or cut it with a bush hog next week. So trying to get it done. But anyway, thank the Lord for the rain. Bible says in Joel chapter number 2, verse number 28, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." I think all of us in here, you would agree, and I'm putting me in the same boat as everybody else in here this morning. You want God to work through your children, or you want God to work through the young people here at the church, okay? I would hope that you want that. I would hope that you desire for God to use these young people or to use your kids, and at your stage, to use your grandkids, okay? I would hope that you desire, I hope that your goal for your children and your grandkids is not that, oh, I hope they make a lot of money in life. That's a pretty, I'm just being frank with you, that's a pretty shallow existence. Well, I hope my kids make enough money that they can take care of me. That's a pretty shallow, and honestly, did you catch that? I hope my kids have enough money that they can take care of me. That's a very selfish, I'm just saying it. That's a very selfish philosophy, okay? I hope, My dad told me this, and I'm, you know, my dad's, he's human. All men are men. But my dad told me this once. He said, I hope that you can do more for God than what I did for God. And I want my kids to do the same thing. I want my kids to be able to do more for God than what I've been able to do for God. And if I, and honestly, if you go by generational, that should be the way it works. You know, the first generation, they don't, you don't have as many opportunities because of, honestly, because of the consequences of sin, because of some wasted years. You don't have all of the opportunities to serve God, but your children should have more. But your grandchildren, if you do what's right in life, your grandchildren should have even more. Your great-grandchildren should have even more opportunities. Now, somewhere in there, we seem like we lose the generation. I don't know what happens. I wish I could figure out and have the magic cure. But every generation ought to be able to do more for God than the previous generation, because you've had more advantages. You've been brought up in the Word of God. So every generation ought to be able to do that. And I want for my kids, I want them to be able to do more than what I've been able to do. Okay? I want to recognize weaknesses. Okay? I want to recognize weaknesses in my life and look for those weaknesses and be particularly, I do believe that there are, I don't know what the term is, it's not generational, but there are inherited or family traits that are, can or cannot be blessings. Okay? They could be a curse. Okay? I have a weakness in this area of my life. So I'm going to watch for that in my kids, so I can shore that up in their life. Does that make sense? Okay, so I think that every generation ought to be better than the generation before it. And I would hope that your desire for your kids and your grandkids is that they serve God with their life. Now, will that happen on all of it? Now listen, folks, you know, if you did everything that you're supposed to do, okay, and your kids still make a choice, because all of us make a choice, that is not your responsibility. Now, have all of us done everything that we're supposed to? I would have to say probably not. There have been times in my life, and you know, I will answer to God for the times in my life where I didn't walk with God the way I should have. I will answer to God for times in my life when I didn't support the authority the way I should have. But it is also a free choice that God gives everybody to serve Him, okay? And everybody has to make that choice. And don't, you know, I don't think you should beat yourself up about it if you did everything that you could have and they still decide not to serve God. Remember, everyone has to make their own choice. But I'm talking this morning about, you know, wanting the best for your kids, wanting them to serve God. And maybe you say, Brother Chad, I have no desire for my kids to really serve God. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. All I want them to do is make money. I don't understand that. Honestly, I don't. Because I want my kids, okay, I don't want my kids to live in poverty. But you know what? Brother Tom, a decent work ethic, you can still serve God, and if you have a decent work ethic, you're not going to live in poverty. Okay? I'm serving God, okay, with my life, but my dad instilled in me a good work ethic. I'm not living in poverty. Okay? Just because I think our young people have this misconception, well, if I serve God with my life, I'm not going to have anything. That is so not true. That is not true. Now, laziness will cause you to have, you know, nothing. Let's go to the book of Proverbs and talk about laziness. And that's something we have to fix. But this whole thought that I'm just going to have my kids to, you know, to have whatever in life, that's not a good philosophy of life. I preached a message one time. You probably don't remember it, and that's fine. But that which you choose to make king will have certain consequences. You know, if I want God to be the king of my life, if we can go back to the book of Kings, where the Israelites said, give us a king, we want a king. And Samuel came to him and said, whoever you choose to be king is going to take your children, it's going to take your money. He's going to take your time. He's going to take these things from you. Now, that's true whether king we choose. So if you choose the world as your king, he's going to take your children. He's going to take your money. He's going to take your time. Or you can choose God as king, and he'll take your money, and he'll take your children, and he'll take your time. It's whoever you choose as king. All right? Now, I would much rather give my money, because listen, you can tithe, you can give freely, or God's going to take it anyway. Me and Brother Jeff were talking last night about the tithe of time. Now, I don't know that it's a Bible principle, okay, but the tithe of time. Wonder if, you know, if we would tithe to God with our time. You ever think about that? Well, I wonder if I gave God 10% of my time every week. Wonder if I could get actually more done during a week than if I tried to keep that 10% to myself. Something to think about. But besides all that, I want my kids to serve God. Now, do I have any guarantee that they will serve God? No. But I also know that there's some verses in the Bible, you know, something like, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, that will always be with them. They may go astray, but in the back of their mind, they will always have those truths in their life. Okay? Now, if nothing else, listen, folks. I believe a Christian young person with character will make the best citizen in the United States of America. Period. You can't have a young person with no morals that will make a good citizen. It won't happen. Okay? So just the good life. If it wasn't for serving, and I think you ought to serve God for the right reason. But if it wasn't just for serving God, just do it because it's a good life. Okay? You know, there's some things I don't have to worry about dying from. Drug overdose, you know, me being a drunk driver, I don't have to worry about those things, okay? Anyway, so in verse number 28, we're told that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I will. So God said, I'm going to do this for you. But do you notice the first part of this verse? Bible says, and it shall come to pass afterward. Afterward. So what does God want? If you say, Brother Chad, I would like for us to have a revival in our youth group. Okay? That'd be great. I would love to have a revival in our youth group. There's no reason, honestly, folks, that we shouldn't have. I mean, we've got 13 core kids right now. What I say core, church family kids in our youth group. There's no reason that we shouldn't, you know, and I don't know what they've got down there today in Sunday school, but there's no reason we shouldn't run 60 or 70 teenagers in our Sunday morning Sunday school. Well, I don't know if we really want 60 or 70 teenagers here. That could be part of the problem. Well, I don't think, can we handle that? I don't know if I could handle it, but I know somebody who can. God can handle it. Okay? There's no reason we shouldn't have that down there. So I want that for our youth group. I want that for our young people. I want them to see what it's like to. I said the other day with our young people, I said, how would you like to, you know, if we went to Walmart, and I think I even referenced it Sunday, if we went to Walmart and I've got 5 teenagers, they look like Christians, they're dressed like Christians, and they go into Walmart and they're kind of split up. You know, they kind of feel abnormal. They feel different, don't they? Okay? They don't feel like they fit in. Newsflash, they don't fit in. But if I took 40 young people to Walmart, do you know who would feel awkward? Walmart would feel awkward. Okay? You know, I told the young people, I said, hey, don't try to fit in to be comfortable. Make everybody else uncomfortable, okay? The darkness doesn't like light. It doesn't. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So I want our youth group to be this. Not because of the numbers. It has nothing to do with numbers. If my name's never mentioned, I would be grateful. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has something to do with young people that will affect a generation that you'll never see. It goes past our today. So I want that. I want that for our young people. But it shall come to pass afterward. Now, what are you talking about afterward, Brother Chad? All right, go back to verse number 12. Verse number 12. God basically has judged Israel here, and he said, you have sinned against me, and you have done things that you should not have done. And I'm going to give you some very practical things this morning, okay? I do want to help us. Bible says in verse number 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Let me just say this. If we want a revival, maybe if we want a revival in your, if you want a revival in your kids, and if we want a revival here, and if I want a revival in the youth group, that needs to start not with them, it needs to start with me. Okay? Who is God addressing here? God's not addressing your children and your daughters. God's not addressing, honestly, God's not even addressing the servants and the maids. God's addressing you. Well, who's you, Brother Chad? You. I'm talking to you. So if I'm addressing you, which I am addressing everyone this morning, I am talking to you. And God is talking to you. Now, if God is talking to you, God is also talking to me. I am a you also, just in a different tense. I am a you also. So God is talking to me. So if I want revival for my young people in verse number 28, and it shall come to pass afterward, I need to go back to verse number 12 and see what became. If I'm talking about afterward, I'm going to go back to before and see what God's talking about. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Brother Chad, I have to ask myself, Chad, have you turned to God with all your heart? If you haven't turned to God with all your heart, how can you expect the young people to? Second thing, with fasting, when was the last time you did a fast? Bible says, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. I was talking to a guy the other day. I was actually talking to a brother, Jeff. We have a mutual friend. He just got done with, he just got done with a 10-day fast. 10 days. But he led 2 people to the Lord yesterday. He led 3 people to the Lord on Thursday. He led 2 other people to the Lord last Thursday. He led another young man to the Lord the week before that. Wonder if maybe the reason we don't see God work is because we're not willing to sacrifice our flesh desires to see God work through us spiritually. Fasting. With weeping, when was the last time you shed a tear? Because you're falling short of what God expects of you. When was the last time you shed a tear? And mourning. Look at verse number 13. This is interesting. And rend your heart. That means tear your heart. Your heart should be broken. Your heart should be broken. Now, most of you are just going to look at me and that's, whatever, Brother Chad. Okay. And that's why we won't see our sons and our daughters prophesy. And that's why, we won't have our old men dream dreams. And that's why our young men won't see visions. Is because we're not willing to rend our heart. What did he say? Look at the next statement. Rend your heart and not your garments. I wrote this down. We give God everything but our hearts. Think about that. What do you give to God? Well, I'll give God money. Most of us, tithing is not a big deal anymore. We give the 10%. We'll give God everything but our hearts. God isn't interested in my bank account. He isn't interested in the things I have. He's interested in having my heart. Because listen, if God has my heart, he's got everything else. But what does this say? Isn't this interesting? Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? If my heart is at here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, my money's automatically coming. Okay? I love other ministries. I love other ministries, and I give to other ministries. But this is where my time goes. This is where my finances go. Okay? We did a mission thing. We went down to Louisiana and helped a sister church down in Louisiana. And honestly, this is just me. I didn't go down there to help that church. I wanted down there to be a blessing to David and Ashley. Okay? Maybe that's a carnal thing to do, but that was my, okay? Now, were we able to help them hopefully in some way? Yes. But that's not where I live, okay? I went down there for, a few days. We spent some money to get down there and to help them. But that's not where my heart is. My heart is here. Okay, this is where I live. This is where my heart is. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And this is a truth in the Bible repeated over and over and over again. If I go to God and I give God me, God is just and faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians chapter 2, I think. All right. Listen, if you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I have done, not for my kids, okay, that's their responsibility. But if I've got revival in my heart, that enables them to have revival in their heart. Okay? So do it for your kids. Do it for your kids. So I'm going to give you a couple just very practical things this morning. And I want to challenge you with something. I want to give you a couple illustrations. Now listen, I'm not bashing anybody this morning. If I'm not bashing anybody, it's Brother Chad standing right here. Because I fail at this. I do. But I want to encourage you, because these young people look at you to see what your reaction is to certain things. Okay? Your walk with God. Do you walk with God? Do you walk with God? And I honestly think everybody in here probably walks with God. I hope they do. Do you walk with God? And I mean, not just, you know, you pray at mealtime. Okay? Listen, folks, Catholics pray at mealtime. But I'm pretty much sure that they don't have much walk with God. Okay, maybe Mother Mary, but not with God. All right? Now listen, do you walk with God? Because your kids, they see that. They see you walk with God. You know, I remember my dad walking with God in the morning. I remember my dad on his knees in the morning. I remember those things. Do you walk with God? You know, Brother Chad, we don't have kids in the house anymore, but when they come over, is, you know, your Bible laying on the coffee table with, you know, a dust over it that hasn't been touched since the last church service? Or is it by your chair that you always read and they can flip through their Bible and the pages are starting to fall out, not from abuse, but because of use? Or do they ever see you do anything like that? Your walk with God. If nothing else, do it for your kids. Your kids need to see that. I needed to see that in my parents. Okay? These young people need to see that. They need to know that you have a walk with God. You can fool a lot of people. You can fool me because I'm very gullible. But a teenager, you'll never fool. Just saying. Well, I'm pretty good at faking it. You won't fool a teenager. And I say teenager. I hate to call them teenagers. I like to call them young men and young ladies, but that age group. Okay? You won't fool them. How can I tell these young people that they're supposed to walk with God if I don't walk with God? How can I tell these young people they need revival if I don't experience revival? Let me say this. A trip to an altar. Now I'm going to hit this real quick, and you're not going to like me for it, okay? But your kids and your grandkids need to see you up here at times. The other... Two Sundays ago, and they're not in here, so I'm not going to, you wouldn't be embarrassed. Two Sundays ago, or three Sundays ago, I stand up here on most Sundays, and Pastor has me do altar work and greet the people as they come up. Pastor's preached salvation. Let me just say this. Pastor has preached salvation. I mean, good salvation. Brother Sam Davison preached a good salvation message. Okay? I know that there were lost people here. I know for a fact that there were lost people. I know that there were people here that if I asked them, they'd say, Brother Chad, I'm not saved. They were here during those messages. Why didn't somebody walk the aisle? Hang on a second. Why didn't somebody walk the aisle? Well, because I'm already saved, Brother Chad. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you're saved. But they didn't walk the aisle either. Now, hang on. You're going to get mad at me, but hang on just a second. Let me explain this. About 5 weeks ago, I believe her name was Chastity, I think was her name. Or maybe it was Tiffany. pastor preached a salvation, listen to me, pastor preached a salvation message. You don't see what I see. Okay, you've got the half the people that, you know, won't bow their heads and close their eyes when pastor asks them to. They're always looking around. You got those. And then you've got those that are under conviction and it's written all over their face. They know that they need to go forward. Now, you're not, like I said, you're not going to like me for this. And you say, Brother Chad, that's just being a fake. I don't think so. I'm going to explain to you. And I make eye contact. I had a young man sitting about where the cinders are sitting 6 weeks ago. I made eye contact with him. You could tell he wanted to leave his seat. He wanted to go forward. But not a soul stirred. Nobody stepped forward. Well, it's a salvation message. I don't need to go forward. Nobody did. And he didn't. A couple weeks after that, a salvation message was preached. Same thing. Lady sitting back there in the back, second row, about where Brother Abel is, three rows in, all over her face. Because they look at you. They got this terrified look on their face. It's the Holy Spirit conviction working in their heart. She's looking at me, and I can see she wants to come forward. Nobody moves. Pastor has a good sense of this, folks, and he knew what was going on. Nobody moves. Finally, Brother Ryan and Kara Gamble, I don't know what they're praying about. None of my business what they're praying about. They stepped out of that aisle about one row in front of where Mrs. Altizer's sitting. They stepped out of the aisle and they came forward and prayed. As soon as they stepped out of the aisle, that lady stepped out of her aisle and walked up and got saved. Wonder what if, I don't know what, and it's none of my business what they were praying about. Maybe they, here's a thought, wonder if they came forward to pray about somebody in here that they knew wasn't saved. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, I'm just going to pray at my seat. Listen, do you remember when you were sitting in that seat and you didn't want to go forward? I try every time I go to a youth conference, I always try to get our young people within the, I mean, as close as I can to the front. For one, it's easier to come forward if you're in the front. Okay? But you know what? These young people, well, Brother Chad, some of you don't like me for this, and that's fine. You think I'm being hypocritical. Okay? Well, I don't have anything to pray about, I shouldn't go forward. So you don't ever go forward, and your kids have seen that. Well, mom and dad, they don't ever need to get anything right. Well, I just wish my kids would get right with God. Have they ever seen you touch the altar? Well, I did twice last year. Okay, if your kids never see you go forward, if my kids never back there, and this is where I'm saying, I don't do as good a job as I should. What we think is, well, I wonder what, you know, pastor preaches against something, and your thought is, I don't want to go forward because I'm afraid what people, because of what he just preached about, I'm afraid what people are going to think about me. Listen, maybe you should just go forward so that your kids see that their dad and their mom, or your grandkids see your grandma and grandpa go forward. Well, I don't think I should go forward just for any reason. Well, maybe you could go forward and just pray for somebody else. It's none of my business what you go forward to pray for. That's between you and God. But don't you think it would make it a lot easier if somebody's behind you is lost instead of nobody? I mean, the last two services. Now, I'm not a great preacher, but okay. Last week, I know that there were at least three lost people here last week. Know for sure. I would wager my salvation on their being lost. I'm that sure about it. Nobody moves. Well, isn't it easier if, you know, the seat's empty? Wouldn't it be easier if 20 people came up for that lost person to say, okay, they went forward, I can go forward. Now, I may be out of place here. And if I am, you can fire me. I don't care. I may be out of place. But I believe that there's something in the Bible that talks about right here. The Bible says, if ye will rend your hearts, if you, that's me too, if you, God's talking to me here too, if you will rend your hearts, and if you will weep, then your sons and your daughters, afterward I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. Afterward, if you'll get right. I wonder if, you know, we can't see anything in the lives of these young people because Brother Chad's not willing to get right in some areas. I would hate to stand before God knowing that there might be a preacher up here the next, you know, Billy Sunday or D.L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon sitting up here or Jack Hiles or Lester Roa. I'd hate to think that the next, because some of these boys, whether you think so or not, they have the potential to be that. I have a potential Billy Sunday sitting right up here. The man that would run across the platform and, you know, hit home runs. The energy is sitting here. If it could be harnessed. But is it because I won't be willing just to walk an aisle? Because these boys watch who walks that aisle. Baptist kids are notorious peekers. They see who goes and who stays. They know. And if they never see Brother Chad up here, why in the world would they ever come up there? I think the revival doesn't necessarily, but I don't have the energy. I don't have the wherewithal to serve God like I used to, okay? But what's wrong with kneeling to pray for the young man that's kneeling beside you? I don't know what he's praying about, but maybe I can pray for him while he's praying to God. Okay, I know you don't like me for that, but show me where I'm wrong. Well, Brother Chad, what about the Pharisee that stood in front of God and was praying for people to see him? Okay. You really want to go that avenue? Now, I don't think you should just come up here just so people, well, he's just going forward to, you know, okay, I've got little kids that they come up every single time. But you know, I'd rather a little kid come up every single time and develop a habit of getting right with God than some, you know, pew bumps that never leave the pew and they haven't touched an altar in 20 years. What's it worth to you? Is it worth the afterward, or are you not willing to give up the now? Now, Joel said, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Turn ye. He didn't say, I want your daughters and your sons to turn to me. He didn't say, I want your old men to turn to me. Although all that, whoever God's talking to here, that's who ye is. That's who the message is for. Turn ye. And I'm proud of our young people. They'll empty these two front pews 80% of the time. Both of them emptied. You know why there's a lot of times more revival in the young people than there is in the old people, older people? Is because of that fact. They're empty. Brother Chad, I don't want to go forward if I don't have nothing to pray about. You don't have anything to pray about? Anything? You don't have a young man that probably goes to church here that I could about guarantee is not saved. He'll come up here and he'll pray. You can't pray for that. You can't pray for some of these young ladies that you don't know what they're fighting with. The Bible says, if ye will rend your hearts.
if ye will weep, if ye will mourn, then afterwards I'll come and I'll visit your children and I'll bring something to your kids. I'll do it for them. I want it for my kids. I want Micah to do something for God that I'll never be able to do. Maybe reach people that I'll never be able to reach. But he's got to see his daddy come forward. He's got to see his daddy walk with God. He's got to see his daddy trust in God. So here's the challenge. You know, instead of just being, well, I'm just, you know, I don't have nothing to pray about. I think we all have something to pray about. Amen. Remember, don't forget that story about that lady back there. I guarantee you she would not have walked, and I'm proud of Ryan and Kara. I don't know. Like I said, none of my business. I don't judge people. Now listen, if you keep your head bowed and your eyes closed like pastor usually asks you to, you don't even know who goes to the altar. And you shouldn't. That's not your business. That's, you know, people think, here's the thing. People think people judge them because they only judge other people. Do you ever think about that? Well, I think everybody's judging me. Why do you think that? Because you judge everybody else? Well, I wonder what they're going to the altar for. Well, see, pastor preached about adultery. They must be committing adultery. What? Where'd you get that at? But that's the way people think. It is, isn't it? Wonder what they're, you know, somebody comes back from the altar crying. You know, everybody, are you okay? Is everything okay? That's between them and God. That's none of my business. If somebody comes to me and asks me to have a prayer request with them, I'll pray. But you know what? I don't ask questions. Rich, can you pray with me about this? Yeah, sure. Let's pray about it. Right here. Right now. I don't try to do counseling. It's not my job. Praise the Lord. Don't judge people. Judge not that ye be not judged. All right? Something to think about. Something to think about. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I don't know. I was convicted about this week, Lord, because I want my kids to serve you, and I want the young people here at church to serve you. But God, sometimes it seems like probably the person that's standing in the way is me. And Lord, I don't want to do that, because Lord, I don't want to be accountable. I want to be everything that they need to do everything that they can with their life. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you help the morning service this morning. I pray that you would just come and meet with us, help pastors. He's preaching here in a few hours in Fairbanks. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless him and be with him. Help our young people. Help the folks here this morning. Thank you so much for them and just their faithfulness, Lord. Just the things that they have seen with their life. Lord, I thank you for them. Thank you for all that you do for us. And I pray that you just help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.